The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Okay. Well, you know why it's coming? Yes, no. Is you are see is the other man shows that angels killed some guys, right? But then you know the character of God, that God is not a killer. So I'm trying to reconcile it to your brain. That's why I'm here. Hallelujah. Behold the Lamb of God. Anyway, so you find out, for instance, in 2 Kings. Where do I use now? So 2 Kings chapter 2, for instance. Okay, 2 Kings 2. You find, or 2 Kings 1 rather. You find Elijah, for instance, calling down fire from heaven. You remember? He said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down and roast all of you. And it happened. But then, in Luke 9, verse 53, Jesus comments on that thing that Elijah did and condemned it. Are you following me? Even though he did it as it were by the power of God. Look at 53. Okay. Let's do it. They did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Put up an NLT. Let's see. Now, flow with us. Verse 54. John saw this. This Lord, should we call down fire from heaven to burn them up? Not the thing about learning is, the thing about learning is that most of the people learn, they want to outdo their teacher. Elijah burns up 102 men, a captain of 50 and his team, another captain of 50. These guys wanted to burn up an entire village. Some people are mean, but Jesus turned and rebuke them. This word rebuke, the way it appears in the Greek is, he turned and stopped them. You know why he stopped them? If they had attempted it, it would have worked. Now, what I'm saying is, you need to realize that a man of God can use the power of God to do wrongly. It doesn't mean that that is the character of God. I don't know what I'm talking about at all. He stopped them. Let's continue. Verse 56. Okay, go back to King James. Look at that 55. Let's go back to 55. Look at this. 55. Now look at this. But he turned and rebuked them and said, what did he say? You know not the manner of spirit you are of. So why did Elijah call down fire from heaven and kill people? He didn't know the manner of spirit he had. I didn't get the point. So why do men of God use the power of God to do evil or to kill people? Is lack of light. Look at 56. He now make a comment. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's life. It's a very simple thing. So, some of them wish to leave. Listen, let me tell you. Jesus, the character of God, said he did not come to destroy men. And that's final. Now, so you find out, it's not the character of God to do that. But Elijah did it. That's my point. If I let, there's an analogy I like using. You know that Moses analogy, right? Moses got to the rock. And God said, speak to this rock. At first, the Lord said, strike the rock. He struck the rock. Water came out. Second time, the Lord said, speak to the rock. And he disobeyed and struck the rock. Guess what? Water still came out. Even though he was in wrong. I get the point. The reason is because a man of God can use the power of God to do what God is not in support of. He said, and why won't God collect it? Listen, that's why it's a gift. Do you get the points? Now, if I give you a phone, hey, where's my phone? I give you a phone. I expect that you use my phone, use this phone to do what? To make calls. But I've gifted you the phone. If you get to your house and begin to use this phone as as stone or as hammer to hit nail. Now, I may not like it. Imagine phone that I gave you. But then I'm not going to collect it back from you. But it doesn't mean I like what you're doing with the phone. I don't get the point. This is why in studying the Old Testament, you will find men. God was doing evil. But it's not true. Every time you see an angel do something, like I'll go to this more next week. You will always find out that a man, okay, instructed the angel to do what he did. If you don't understand this, let's meet next week. Amen. So most times you find it everywhere. You always find a man. For instance, in the days when they came to help Elisha, they made those guys blind. I get the point. Just like, oh, come on, you understand what I'm saying? A man of God can say, in the name of Jesus, I roast you by fire, and you will roast proper. You will really roast. That doesn't mean God wanted you to roast, right? But it's the power of it, it's the man. Nobody used to teach you, you are in charge of what God has given you. That's why one of the things you need, if you're going to flow in the power of God, one of the things I normally recommend is knowledge. You must know how to use the gifts properly. You get the point? If not, you will misuse it. I've done it too. I've cursed someone by my God, and they follow the person. And it's a criminal statement. It's a criminal thing to do, to curse people by the power of God. Think about it. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? So if I say the name of Jesus, it's as well as saying in the name of life. So I cause you to die in the name of life. Let life kill you there. Let life kill you there. That's not, you see, but people do that. Because when God has given that ability, it's an ability to create whatever you want to create. I don't get the point. Do you get the point? And the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. That's why I normally tell people, the fact that we don't do some things does not mean we can't do it. Don't provoke the lion in people. I'm telling you the truth. It's just that we have grown, you know, when you learn the word of God, you learn that for God, you know, I normally say this, for the world, power means control. In Christ, power is love. Do you get the point? Power is love. That's when, if you grow in your flow of the power of God, it is, that's why after the Bible discussed the gift of the Spirit in verse chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians 12. What followed the verse 13? Chapter 13? Love. After he discussed gifts in 12, he discussed love. Because if you're going to flow in the power of God very well, you have to be someone that understands the love work. But then, it doesn't mean, hallelujah, it doesn't mean that, hallelujah, just that if you use the power of God to do evil, if you are mature, it takes a baby to use the power of God to do evil. I don't care. It takes someone that is not mature, trained with it. And what is the training? The training to put your emotions in check. Because sometimes it's their emotions getting a better part of them. You get the point? 2018, I normally use this as an example. I was in, that was a Hamford for Caris. Remember, I am for Caris now. Some of you that were there. Now, there was a small child that they brought there. Remember this story? This small child was lame, I think was deaf, and was dumb. One person. And in the light, I carried the child. I could feel holy anger running through my blood. Because I knew where it was coming from. I knew it was somebody, a human being. And so I felt like saying, in the name of Jesus. Like, but I was just carried. And you know, remember that I've already started talking. I was already very angry. But you know, you just have to be calming down. And I knew that there is no point killing. Reason is because, one, Jesus died for him too. Second, say, what if I heal the child and he brings back the thing? Well, I will heal the child and place a guard around the child. It will not come back. You need to realize that we are not at the mercy of Satan. I don't get the point. We are not at the mercy of Satan. We can stop him from coming. It's very simple. You don't need to kill him, but you can speak protection over your family. They will be trying. It will not work. You don't need to kill anybody. Hallelujah. But then angels, you see, five people using the power of God to engage these guys to do evil. But they were not destined for it. They were destined to do the word of God. We'll look at that next week. So some examples. For instance, Lot. He found out that it wasn't even the angels. When the angels came to Sodom, they came to save Lot. Okay, I said I'll teach on this at LMP. They came to save Lot. Though it will look in the story like they came to burn down Sodom, no. They came to save Lot. Well, so we'll look at all of that next week. But then, the next question I want to ask is, Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. I asked this question last week. Let's look at that. But I said, how do this teaching? I'll just start by explaining some things before we now start firing up. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born, okay, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, I mean beautiful, right? And they took them wives of all which they chose. Stop. So the question is, who were these sons of God? Because, and we are asking this question because we saw a story last week, remember? In Matthew 22, verse 30, Jesus said, angels do not marry. Or are they given in marriage? You remember that? And so, people say, these sons of God are angels. So, are they really angels? If they are angels, why did the Bible say, angels do not marry? Nor are they given in marriage? Are you here? Now, let me just try to prove that. A lot of controversies exist around this point. First is because angels in the Old Testament, actually, we are referred to as sons of God. That's the truth. I can show you like two, three places where they were called sons of God. Job 1 verse 6, for instance. Job 1 verse 6. Job 2 verse 1. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also. Here he was referring to angels. Job 2 verse 1. There was a day when the sons of God came. So you find out sons of God will be referring to angels. So Satan will just come because, of course, he was an angel. You get the point? So the question is, so people have leveraged on this to say, well, angels married men. But you need to realize something too. That this term, sons of God, yeah, was a wrong rendering. I hope you know. Now, I don't know whether you get it. It doesn't mean the Bible is wrong. The Bible is never wrong. But then, sometimes in the presentation of the Bible, some of the writers write at the level of the light they had then. That's why I always say the Bible is a book you might never understand until you read all of it. You should read all of it. The epistles will shed light. For instance, Job calls angels sons of God. But then in Hebrew 1 verse 5, Hebrew chapter 1 verse 5, the writer of Hebrew says, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this thou have begotten you. He said, did he say that to any angel? The answer was no. He said, and again I will be to him a father. So he was saying, God never said this to any angel. So actually the term sons of God used for angels in the Testament was actually wrong. Do you get the point? Do you get the point? Because angels are not sons of God. But then, just leave it at that. There are God's sons in the Old Testament. But then you need to realize too that in that same Old Testament, the Jews too, some of them are children of God too. Better in Deuteronomy 14 verse 1, you find the Jews referred to as children of God. Okay? You are the children of the Lord your God. So they were called children of God too. And so we have seen angels in the Old Testament We have seen men also called sons of God. Are you still here? So it will be a rash conclusion, for instance, to say that these beings were angels. And it also be a rash conclusion to say that they were not. I get the point. So we're going to see. So, but it's not verse 4. Let me show you. Giants in the earth. Of after the sons of God came. So the story is that angels married men, ladies, and they produced giants. That's what we believe, right? But I don't think you should go with that yet. As a matter of fact, just the three of us. Huh? You don't need anyone. Do you know Great Kali? But do you know Great Kali? Anna, isn't a giant? How tall is he? Eh? 7 feet. Is it true? A certain human being. And some of you are struggling with 3 or 4 feet. You are struggling with 4 feet. 5 feet. Somebody is 7. God will help you. So are we going to say that Great Kali's father was an angel? That married his mother? If that is true, are all Great Kali's relatives giants? I get what I'm trying to say. So it will be a rational decision to make. Now, so there are two possible answers historians have given, as in Bible scholars have given. The first possible answer, is that these were men, and that they were descendants of Seth, the third son of Adam. And why people go with this is because go to Genesis chapter 5. Okay, let me show you chapter 4 first, from verse 16. Follow this, Genesis 4:16. You need this lesson. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Continue. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he built a city and called the name of this. You know, it's not this Enoch that walked with God. Do you know? What I'm trying to tell you, in Genesis chapter 4, there's a genealogy of Cain. But then, this from genealogy of Adam through Cain. In Genesis chapter 5, which is the next chapter, there's another genealogy of Seth, of Adam through Seth. Do you understand the point? He's just talking about Enoch. Continue Enoch, verse 18. Enoch bore Irad. Irad bore Mehujael, Methushael, Lamech. That one married two wives. His wives married Ada. Married Ada and Zillah. And Ada. Or Jabal. You know, you find this genealogy. Verse 1 now another genealogy starts. This is the book of Adam. So you know Adam gave birth to Cain, right? So we are seeing two generations from the same man. Okay, continue. The likeness of God and all that. Verse 2 now said, male and female created them and blessed them and called their name. Okay, verse 3, and Adam lived 100 years and begot a son after his image and called his name. So they now leave Cain out. So we are seeing two genealogies, one from Cain, one from Seth. Right? And this genealogy ran to the last verse of that place, of chapter 5. He ran to verse 32. Okay, go to verse 32. He ran, and Noah now came. Noah was, you know, he was from that genealogy. Now, chapter 6 now said, verse 1, and it came to pass when men began to multiply, that the sons of God, some people of the opinion that people you call the sons of God, we are from Seth. I'm just giving people's opinion. I get to the point. And people called daughters of men were from Cain. Do you get the point? Now, second is the one that you have. That angels fell in love got married, and that was it. But the challenge with that opinion is that Matthew 22:30 tells us that angels do not marry, nor are given in marriage. As a matter of fact, if an angel can marry, then we should be scared that one day the guy checking you might as well be a demon in human flesh. Praise God. So this is a possibility. It might be man, it could be angels too. But the answer is which one is correct. I'll tell you plainly. The Bible is specific on the fact that angels don't marry. But then we have seen the New Testament, for instance, in look at Mark chapter 5, verse 1. I'm trying to just share a lot of things, and I will draw a conclusion, which you will do. Mark 5, verse 1 tells us they came over unto the side into the country of Gadarenes. Out of the ship. Immediately they met him out of the tombs. A man with what? This unclean spirit is a demon, right? That's a fallen angel. Right? Demons are fallen angels, right? Okay. Who had his dwellings among the tombs, and no man could bind him, not with chains. Verse 4. And because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him. So we see possessed by a demon. And this gave him supernatural strength. Do you observe that? You bind him with chain, he breaks it off. See, have you seen demon possessed before? I've seen some powerful demon. They possess some kind of supernatural strength by demons. So the possible thing is, if actually it was angels, fallen angels, that married those women, they must have married them by possessing men. Do you get the point? Do you get what I say now? It must have been by, because angels don't have that leverage to marry here on earth. You get the point? So the conclusion is that it is men. Whether it is men from sex, I don't know. The Bible does not give us that detail, right? Whether it is men from anywhere. But all I know is that it is men that can marry. And if an angel will ever want to do anything, or let me say, if a demon, right, want to do anything, he will have to possess man. Anything like marriage is a serious matter. Marriage is a serious matter. And it's not like they marry them in their dream. They marry them physically. And slept with them physically. And had sperm to give them physically. No, that's too far. That's too far. Don't you think so? That's too far. So it will possibly be men. So the Bible tells us that angels don't marry, nor are they given in marriage. So it will be safe for you to believe and to conclude that these were men. If you believe they were angels, you are going to be going too far very soon. Because very soon you will start believing that a demon can actually come physically and propose to you and marry you. That's the gist. But a demon can possess a guy. There are some guys checking you now that are demon possessed. I'm telling you. Some ladies in your life are full of demons. They're angels. You know, when Jesus met this madman, he said, who was your name? He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. So imagine many fallen angels in one human being. So they don't need to be one. Hallelujah. Demons possess people. Now, I'm being very sincere. Demons. Have you seen demons possess people? Let me see. Have you seen? So that's some terrible people say, there's something like deliverance ministry. Well, be coming down. Deliverance ministry, if we go by Bible definition, means to preach salvation. That's the truth. But there is such a thing as casting out devils. There's such a thing as driving out evil spirits. There are some people you see, you just know that this is not normal. There was a case, a married man was sleeping with one girl. Now, it was so dramatic that he can be sleeping in the night. A pastor friend told me this story. He can be sleeping in the night, and jump up by 1 a.m. and start calling the girl and start going to her house. One, your wife will be on the bed. He said, I just have to be there. I said, wife, nonsense. Get out. He will come back in the morning. He can wake up by 5. I'm telling you, any time. He can leave work. So go and see that lady. You know, I've heard of this stuff that is going on the internet now. We have women bewitch men. You think it's Facebook? It happens. You will stand up and go sleep with the girl, come back, and all. So when they call this guy, this pastor, look, of course, you know some women, that's why you don't just need to be prayerful, you need to marry a prayerful person. The lady was complaining, oh, woman rapper. We will know every time, everywhere you see woman, you follow. Something is scared to kill you. You are just, and the man, the man of God just diagnosed the matter and said, stop shouting. This one is strong. Stop shouting. And he entered the man's house. The man was lying down on the bed. And the man just raised up his head to say, Pastor, welcome. Come on, in Jesus' name. The man shouted and fell on the floor. And that was it. I thought, things happen. No. Okay. So such things can happen. But an angel coming out to marry a human being, that will be going too far. I get the point. Or we can see such things. And so angels, in the Old Testament, they gave the law. They performed some activities that possibly you may not like. Right? But then, they did not marry. That's the trust I'm trying to show you. They didn't get married. If they ever do that, they have to do it through a man. So let me get to the business of the day. So what do they do for you? I'll show you like three things. We'll continue next week. Amen. What do they do for you? The first thing angels will do for you, the first thing angels do for believers is that they wrought protection and deliverance. Deliverance. Supernatural deliverance and protection. Let me start with this today. Psalm 91. From verse 1. Is it that? Give me that mic. I sent something here already. Give me that mic. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under. Let's continue. That's you, right? I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. The Lord will deliver me. Hallelujah. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for destruction that wasted at noonday. He picked every part of the day. He said, whenever the issue wants to come, there is no fear. Why? And I said, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not. Why? Only with thy eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Why will all these things happen? Let's continue. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. Why? For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. So the reason nothing will come near your dwelling is because angels are working for you. So God gave angels to protect man. I get the point. You know, if you know the number of angels that are working for your deliverance, I'm not talking about evil spirit, I'm talking about deliverance, getting from trouble. If you know the number of them that are working every day, you will learn to trust God and rest. Get the point? He said, He shall give His angels. Oh, come on. He has given His angels charge over me and are watching over me. Hallelujah. Verse 12. He said, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet.
because he has said, he said, I began to take this scripture very literal. I can trample upon lions, not in the spirit, physical lions. I have been preaching this over time and people have seen it. That's one of my daughters. This year alone, said they, as in sometimes a snake will climb down, clip their body, come down, it will not bite you. Why do you think it happens? What do you think stopped the lion from devouring Daniel? Let me get the point. Angels walk. Lion became obedient. He couldn't talk. He couldn't move. He couldn't even roar. Daniel slept. I've had testimonies of, don't know if the feeling said it, this during the lockdown. Somebody said I was sleeping and I woke up and a snake was climbing up my body. He said, I just felt something moving and I just removed it with my hand and that was it. The other one said, I felt a pain on my leg and I felt this snake has beaten me. He said, I remembered that story you told about Paul, how a snake beat him. And I just ignored it. He said, my mom said, let's go and do this. And he said, nothing there here. And there was nothing till today. He said, that's a risk. No. He gives his angels charge over you. Over you. In Psalm 34 verse 7, before I get to stories, Psalm 34 verse 7, he said, the angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear him and delivereth them. There is deliverance by the hands of angels. If you know the number of angels that are working part time to deliver you, you travel with confidence. Yeah. With confidence. With confidence. You face attacks. A confidence. It's confidence. You face robbers. It's confidence. I get the point. I've seen things. So we've seen a case. So two ladies were in a room. That time it was a school environment. They were moving from room to room, raping girls in their numbers. And these girls were in their room. Next week we'll get to how to engage the ministry. And they came in. And they wanted, he said, one wanted to run, the other one drew her back. And said, in the name of Jesus, kneel down. The guys were looking. He said, wait till you do. I said, kneel down with Jesus. You know, when you see that audacity, you need to know that part time. I'm telling you because the day you begin to appreciate the deliverance and protection that we have in Christ by the hands of angels, you will know that actually no evil can come near your dwelling. For instance, in 2 Kings chapter 6, hey, I love that place. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. 2 Kings 6, verse 15. When the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host, as a soldiers compassed them with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us, hey, are more than they that be with them. Hallelujah. How many of you know there are people that are with you? And innumerable. And verse 17, and Elisha prayed. He said, open his eyes. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, behold, the mouth was full of horses and chariots of fire. Whether you see them or not, they're there. So why would Elisha sleep when this man have surrounded him? He knows angels are working for me. Why would Jesus sleep in the storm? Angels are working for me. They cannot allow me to get into trouble. And many of you are beginning to remember, because sometimes it's not about physical whatever. You are beginning to remember the days you almost got into trouble, but God came for you. Think. You thought you just escaped. Then I shot the bullet and now drew back. And the bullet now passed. They don't know me now. How smart do you think you are? Do you know the speed of a bullet? You couldn't have dodged that. An angel shifted it by an inch. You see a lot of, you see, people get, you see, accidents. He said, I just passed and came, and wow. He said, the guy almost all died 3 times. And I came out, no scratch. That's your testimony, right? An angel of the Lord. You know, when I learned the ministry of angels, I stopped taking some things as coincidence. Yeah. You know, we had a conference recently, and they were telling me, so they didn't even know the gravity of what happened in that meeting. They were cooking in the kitchen. And you know that pipe that connects the gas? You know that pipe? They were cooking and the pipe caught. You should expect an explosion. The pipe caught, the fire went off. It didn't happen in 2010. Last month, the fire went off. The fire, that, some of these, when I started telling them, how can you say that happened? Like it's true. You know, because they didn't know. Guess what they did? They brought cellotape. Cellotape the thing. Started cooking again. And to an extent, that's a level of foolishness. But God comes through for you in your foolishness. You'd have been expecting that when that thing, if you know what it means, once that thing cuts, it should be an explosion. But angels are working for me. Always. Not small things, you said, I had an accident and then my hand is located. Sometimes you don't know what would have been. That's why I say, I just fell down on the road. I'm just thanking God that there was no car coming. If you know those kind of stories, because if there was a car coming, it would have crashed my head. Why was there no car coming? He said, that was a coincidence. So just luckily for me, stop using that term. You are not lucky. You are blessed. I'm not lucky. He said, luckily for me. Hey! The car now came and my name dodged. How smart you are. You think you're that intelligent? I've told you, don't overestimate your relative importance. I keep telling you this. You're not that intelligent. You know, I think as I was just walking, so you need to appreciate and acknowledge. When I first saw this, you know, many years ago, I was studying the Bible. Many years ago, I mean, many, my own term of many. I've not been in this world for a very long time. So when I say many, you know, I'm talking about like 15, 16 years ago. So, I was studying the Bible also, and I've told this story before. I had a lantern, kerosene lantern. It's been long I saw that. Wow. Kerosene lantern. And it was on a seat kind of, and I was lying down on the bed. And then, of course, I slept off. Yeah, glory. And I slept off. To open my eyes, I saw, not in the spirit, my whole body was soaked with kerosene. What happened was the seat. Look, I was lying on the bed here. The seat was a distance away from the, whatever carried that lantern to move from that seat to fall on top of me and burned, and there was kerosene all over my body. I didn't know, but the fire did not burn. The amazing thing was that I saw kerosene from my head on, from my head to my toe, but I saw the lantern standing there. You say, what happened? I know. A demon pushed it down. An angel stood it up. I'm telling you, to burn up my precious life. Oh, it can happen. You need to know that God is working for you. God is working for you. God is working for you. Angels are working for your deliverance and protection. In Daniel 3, verse 25. I like this one. They threw these three guys into the fire. Why did the fire not burn? He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of fire, and they have no heart. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. So an angel stepped into that fire and began to walk with them. The fire did not burn. Not just that the fire did not burn, their clothes did not burn. Let me tell you, there is so much for you. This month I'm going to challenge you. We're going to appreciate these things. Because angels are working for your protection every day. Did you observe that the guys that had this fourth man in the fire did not see the fourth man? So you don't need to see these things. Oh, but I've got this. You can look at this. They entered that fire with confidence. He said, our God will deliver us. Trust him. No, God, you know what? How can they throw Jonah into the river? And he landed in the mouth of a whale, and the whale was instructed how to eat him. He said, keep him for 3 days. I want to have a retreat. He's been long, he prayed. And Jonah was so comfortable, he prayed. And I can imagine when the whale vomited him, he hope I had a nice time. Hope I treated you well. Because I have to report back to the guy that instructed me to keep you well. And Jonah stayed there. He was not hungry. 3 days, he prayed. Comforted. You know, you need to be hearing this. You say, ah, now wow, it's Old Testament. What is old about God again? What do you think is old about God? He gives his angels charge over me. I can tell you modern day stories. Things that you hear, you now say, Jesus, did this happen? Those things happen. I've had to eat poison twice in my life. First, I didn't know. Second, I knew. Like, first, I didn't know. The person later came and told me. Say, I poisoned your drink. I said, I drank it. Say, pray for me. I said, I will. You know, missions is one very powerful thing. You know, when you go to missions, you begin to see some things. Go to some villages. Some people are daring. Once you enter, they want to try you first. To see how strong you are. Let's try you. And I say, ah, this one is strong, go. Say, pray for us. And I tell people, you cannot take a city by speaking English. It's not grammar that thing. It's not, you know, the word works. That's not what takes. It's not grammar. Yeah, taking a city is power. You get the point? There are some things you need to engage. You're not going to seize any city. If not, you're not ready for the city. Say, I poisoned your drink. Say, I drank it. He said, pray for me. I said, yes. You need to get born again. And that was it. You need to come to a point where you realize that these beings are working. I've told you this story a couple of times. Some years ago, this story, when I think about this story, it brings goosebumps all over me. Because it happened to me. A very terrible black scorpion had entered my clothes. I was standing and I felt something moving all over my body. I could feel it on my back. I said, ah, what is this? You know that kind of thing. I just held it and now removed the clothes. It was a scorpion. Big black scorpion. Who commanded the scorpion not to bite? Get the point. Say, scorpion, don't sting this guy. You know, a songwriter said, who told the sun let us stand in the morning? So, you know, we can give command. So I can imagine God saying, hey, scorpion, don't sting. Just walk around. Let him see my deliverance. But God, you need to understand angels. I'm trying to use every form of deliverance. If some of you know this story, I've stood faces to robbers. I've had many occasions. One of the cases, encounters robbers. God delivered us by we running. Yeah. By knowing that they were robbers ahead of time. The other one, I had come face to face with them. And I knew they were there. Some of you know the story, right? I knew. I've seen them. But it was midnight around 1. I couldn't go back to where I was coming from. I had nowhere to go to. The only way was forward. So I stood there. I'll talk about this next week. And I started praying in the Holy Ghost. I was far from them at first. So I stood where I was before they had seen me. I was, because fear came upon me. Yeah. And I stood there, shabalak, roba, take. I muttered. I know this thing began to rise. And it rose and rose and rose and rose. And I began to walk towards them. And I got there that night. I said, ah, now we're done, no. And they looked at themselves and said, "Where are you coming from?" I said, "We had a program in church. I went to church." And one of them looked at the other person and said, "Now these kind people, they put people for trouble. They go." And I said to them, I said, "I can hear noise down there. Are you people sure that place is..." I said, "Bros, I beg, we are not from the..." "Just be going." And that time, my confidence was at 116%. As I looked at them, I said, "Komare, kale, mushata." And I was so... But guess what? I moved a little distance and I ran. You know, but then... I ran, oh. He who fights and runs. Well, but then the Lord came. Now, how I normally like to tell that I was scared is, I think I wasn't scared. But I knew angels were going to come through for me. Angels are working for me. They're working for me. In Acts 5 verse 18, Peter was in the disciples were in the prison. An angel came. Look at that. Acts 5 verse 18. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Verse 19. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them out. Let me tell you, these things, they happen. They're not Bible stories. Hallelujah. An angel came and opened and said, "Leave this place." Supernatural deliverance by the hands of angels. So the first thing angels will do for you, or those for the saints, is that they are there to protect and to deliver the saints. If you know what I am saying, you will enter your street with confidence. Some fears will become. Sometimes, my thought is next week. Sometimes it will deliver you from making a dramatic scene. Some other times, it will be by keeping you away from the harm. You get the point? That point where a thousand will fall here, tell us, you don't say, before I got there, something has finished happening. You get the point? However it will come, sometimes it's by keeping you away. Sometimes it's by taking you another way. Sometimes it's by using power too. But all the same, they are there to deliver you. To deliver you. Angels are working for me. And when you know this, you find out after saying this, what you call amber months, there's nothing like that. The ember moon say, "Hey, accident, armed robbery, witchcraft, witches, like witches, 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 like small witches." So sometimes, what are you scared of? Witches. I used to do this whenever I go for a crusade in a village. I used to announce, "If you're a witch, I'm not going to pray before I sleep this night. Come and oppress me." They can't. You see, some things, witches are the lowest in the kingdom of darkness. Lowest. And they say, "Witches, they now came and are pressing me." See, the next time you wake up pressed, go back to sleep. The dream is not over. After the dream, they're pursuing the dream. Sleep back. You woke up too early. Go back and pursue them back. I'm telling you, witches, I woke up with marks in my body. Marks in my body. The only marks that should be on this body is the mark we got by persecution. Maybe, you know, they flogged you for the gospel. No, that's the marks that should be here. But marks, and I'm speaking by the Spirit now. Like, there's one of you here. Something happened to you and it's been bothering you. There are scars you have on your body. The thing has gone, but the scars are still there. But you want the scars to go to. If I'm done with this message, those scars will disappear supernaturally. If I'm done. Marks on your body. You need to know the kind of protection that is at work for you. All over the place. Angels are working for me. But okay, another thing angels will do, for instance, John chapter 5, verse 1. Angels can play a role sometimes in healing. There was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went to Jerusalem, verse 2. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in this lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season in the pool and troubled the water. Then when you get it, you get healed. So angels can play a role. Yeah, I will explain all this next week better, how they do this. A role in healing. You get the point? I've seen some cases where someone in the spirit, I'll be praying for someone and I will just see, this lady needs a surgery. And I will see in the spirit, you know, something like, somebody was telling a story, someone that was in coma. This has happened many times. Said I was in coma and I said, how did you get up from coma? He said that in the spirit, I saw some angels enter the room, open my body. That's why you need new organs in your body. It's a kidney, liver, new organs in your body. Says blood. I've seen a case where someone had a blood condition. Something that is it? They said the person had shortage of blood or something. Kept fainting. But it is not now that you know we have. I laid hands on her in the name of Jesus. Your blood should increase. I don't. I said your blood should increase. Went for the test the next day. I said, there's nothing like that again. What happened? Did you take any drug? Did you eat anything? It's not by eating. I didn't get the point. Supernaturally by God, angels can be involved in healing. There have been surgeries. We've seen surgeries by the Spirit. I was in a meeting many years ago. I'm telling you, this is why I saw angelic manifestation live in spirit. This lady had come for the meeting, I've heard this story a couple of times, and she was pregnant for 12 months. 12 months. She's not giving birth. And labor was not forthcoming. And she came and met me. And I said, I have an instruction for you. She said, what? I said, we have a 1 week meeting. I said, be there every day of the meeting. Because one of these days, I'm going to pray for you. I don't know when. And she was coming. Friday, that I was even sick. I was very down. That's the story for another day. So I managed to get up, walked into the hall. I got to her, placed my hands on her. Labor come upon you. And I could see in the spirit angels induce the labor. She went to the labor on the spot. They took her to the hospital from the meeting. You know what I mean? I didn't want anybody to give birth in that church. It was not looking fine. So I said, please take this lady to the hospital. She started shouting, labor come upon her immediately. They're like, water break. I said, no, water should not break inside this place. Take her to the hospital, let the water break. Inside the hospital. Now I'm telling you this. We can see angels involved in healing. That's why if you are sick and you need something to happen, I mentioned, I said, if you have a growth in your body, something you want, everybody don't want, then angels can pull those things out. I've seen it happen. And you just steer the water, you get in, you get healed. Remember last week, they are made this way for you. They don't need their strength for anything. Their strength is for you. Another important part, role angel plays. First Kings 19 verse 15. Verse 5 rather. I like this one. First Kings 19 verse 5. You know, the Lord began to speak to me. That was 2 days ago. He said, whenever you teach on angels, he said, you emphasize deliverance. You emphasize protection. He said, but you just stop there. He said, you've not said there are many more things that I would have my angels do for the saints. They're not emphasizing. I'm going to show you like two today. And as he lay and slept on the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. It's not in the spirit. And he looked and behold, there was a cake baking on the coast and a cruse of water at his head. And he ate and drank. This didn't happen in the spirit. Angels can be involved in supernatural provisions. Arise, eat. He did eat and drink and let them again. The angel of God came again a second time and touched him and said, arise, eat again. The journey is too far. So the food came two times. So angels can play a role. It can be this dramatic too. It might not even be dramatic. But I'm praying for you. that this week you will have supernatural provision by the hands of angels. Amen. This week.
An angel came and said, eat.
I'll show you. Like Second Kings, for instance, chapter 7, verse 3. Arise, eat. And there were four lepers. There were four leprous men at the entering of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit here till we die? Verse 4. If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. If we sit here, we'll die also. Now, some of you at this point in your life, where Jebe Jeba Dima, Balaba Dima, he said, now, therefore, come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall but die. Oh, glory to God. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the utmost part of the camp, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord made the host of the Syrians. I'm coming to this. Hear noise of chariots and noise of horses, even noise of great hosts. And they said one to another, the king of Israel has hired men against us. Number 7. And wherefore they arose and fled, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was. Verse 8. And when his lepers came to the utmost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carry silver. There was an angelic intervention here. These were soldiers. They had food. The other guys were hungry. They stepped out to go. These other guys began to hear a noise of horses and chariots. And they ran and left everything they had. These guys went and carried those things. You later find out that this God, the Lord used this to supply food throughout Israel. But there was famine at that time. So it can come in many dramatic ways. We have seen where people just get alerts from people they never expected. We have also seen people get alerts from people they don't know their names today. Has it ever happened to you? Till today. If you, who sends this money? Person cannot show up. I get the point. We have also seen people receive some kind of patronage. Somebody begins to patronize you. People begin to patronize you unusually. Angels are working out this provision. I've seen it. People begin to patronize you carelessly. Hey, yeah. You see, this week, multiple opportunities. A lot of, you see, work will overload you this week. I'm telling you. Because angels can steer these things. Hello, people. That's what people. Provision. So they might bring the food like they did for Elijah. They can make you see it. Sometimes they can fix the situation, but they're working. Whichever way they do it, they're working for your provision. They're working. In the wilderness, the Israelites had to eat manna. Manna was not eating in the spirit, it was eating physically. Food fell. At another time, meat fell. How many of you know it happened in the Bible? Meat fell for them. You know, I've taught you, see, when you hear Bible stories, it's not tales by moonlight. These are things you should expect to happen to you. That you can go to that bag of garri and it will not finish at the end of this year. It will be there. You keep taking from it, it will not finish. We've seen God in small ways, so in big ways, we've seen God. See, conferences we hold say this food is small. I say, no, it will be enough. Say how? I don't know. And somehow, how did the bread multiply in the hands of Jesus? How? And find some kind of patronage that begins to come your way. Some people have been chatting me up, say, sir, since you gave that word a razor fact, I've not been myself. Another one said, I've not been able to have time for myself. People always keep coming. You see, it looks like angels are going to drag these people. Say, go and talk, patronize that girl. Yeah, and I heard it by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Some of you, what God will do for you this week? He said, I will make you visible. He said, I will bring angels that will make what you do visible. You've been advertising, nobody seeing you. This week, people that have not noticed today shall notice you this week. Yeah. Well, that's the issue with some people. It's like there is a covering. You keep talking, I sell shoes. Isaiah Kloto. Nobody is seeing it. It's only Abdul Karim Kazim. Those that don't need, they'll like the post. Kazam, they'll like the post. Mohammed Shaib, they'll like, they will not buy it. I saw in the spirit where an angel is standing carrying a placard, and you will be advertised this week, and it will work. And take my words, this week, people that you did not expect, they will call you to patronize you this week, because you say, how? By the hands of angels. I'm not just talking about getting money, I'm talking about doors being open. Angels do these things. They can fix the situation. Brother Copeland will tell the story of how, when they were growing up, he said him and the wife, they were supernaturally in debt. You don't understand that there was so much that the debt they were owing supernaturally. He said it just has to be supernatural, because there's no way anybody can have that kind of debt that we had. After they were owing in tons of millions of dollars. But the Copeland, that you know, he said we were supernaturally in debt until we woke up one day to realize that God is my source. That was it. And he said, the funny thing is that the scripture he even saw was even a wrong interpretation. They didn't interpret well. He said, oh, no man, nothing except love. You know that place? No. He said, well, now what he wants to believe now from here is that the Bible said we should not owe anybody. And so I will never be in debt again. And that was it. Till today. See, you can do a debt-free ministry. You can do a debt-free business. I get the point. You can run a family that is debt-free. Every money that enters your hand should not be for paying debt. And I'm speaking by the Spirit. If you are in debt and you're looking how to get out of, this week, help is coming for you. This week. There was a time my family were in that kind of debt. Supernatural. Debts like debts. A man walked to the, my brother, I said, came to the house one day, drove in, and called my mom, left the dish talking. He said, okay, come and see. Just came. How are you? How are you? Just came to see you people. Come and see me tomorrow. He went to my elder brother, and exactly the money we were owing. Give her the money. He said, I just feel led. That leading will come. I just feel led to give you. Something is happening. You don't know whether to start crying or start rejoicing. I just looking at the person. He said, "Where you also? Where you also? You are dumbfounded. God will give you miracles. He will. He will." And he said, "How come? How did they pick you out?" I said, "Angels will talk up. I heard Lord said I will mention your name in distant nations. I will mention your name in distant nations. I will. And some of you, your minister, your ministry has been hidden, kind of. From now, the doors of other ministries are open to you. They're open to you. By the hands of angels, you find there can be provision. So they can just walk around the city talking to people about you. Through people to people. Sometimes they fix the situation and you just enter the bus. Why is it that bus you enter? Why is it that guy you met? Some opportunities will come across this week. You just see them carelessly online. Why did you see it? You just find that post. How did you see it? God will make these things work for you. Because there are an innumerable company of angels. Let me tell you, better begin to take hold of what I'm saying. Let me tell you why. Because you and I know that you will not visit native doctor. I get the point. You and I know that you will not use juju. You and I know that you will not visit a witch doctor. You and I know that the people you are dealing with and competing with are using these things. But you and I have God. And we have, so the same way they engage demons, you can engage angels.
It's the same thing.
More superior power. You know what Satan does is to counterfeit what God does. These the people are using demons to do their businesses. You know, they use a demon. Sometimes they use demon. Everybody in the market is coming to their shop. It is demons that are working. How do people just do juju? And what the person is selling is just selling clothes. Everybody in the market will be coming to buy from him. They've used evil powers to send demons, fallen angels, right? To everywhere. To begin to drag people. That's the same thing you do. By your words. Release angels. So they begin to go from place to place. Notice that guy. Have you seen that shop? Look at it. And they keep coming. It's going to happen for you. It will. It's by the hands of angels. By the hands of angels. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on. I have one more thing to say. But pray in the Holy Ghost. I sense something here. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Provision is mine by the hands of angels. An angel will bring food to Elijah and wake him up 2 times. He will cause manna to rain down. This is God. Now look up. Look up. Some of you don't know that your finance is very important to God and Satan. You don't know. The reason is this. You are a believer. Not just a believer. You are a minister. Some of you, half of what you earn goes to ministry. Let me get the point. And so Satan knows that if everybody here has 10 million, we will not be here today. So he can fight tooth and nail to make sure. And so that's why you don't take your finance just carnally. But Agi will tell you sometimes, stand up and begin to call forth money. Look, take it carnally. Angels will work for you. And I'm bringing provisions your way. I'm bringing it your way. And one of the last things I'm going to talk about today, then we'll continue from there next week. Second chapter 7, verse 3. Angels can give you supernatural help. Hey, that's why. I wanted to pray that prayer for you when I close. But it just came before I started. There was 4 lepers. We look at it. They were at the entry of the city. They said, why is this with the Bible said, when they moved, as they were walking. Now let me explain something about lepers. Who has seen a leper here before? What? How are the feet of lepers? They have sores. They have sores on their feet. Right? And the Bible said that they began to walk, 4 guys with sores on their feet. So we can imagine how they'll be walking. Okay? They'll be walking. They'll be limping almost. But the Bible said as they were walking, those soldiers heard the noises of chariots. It is God amplifying your moves. Yeah. So they will be tiptoeing, managing to walk. God, verse 4 and 5. Managing to walk. And verse 5. He said, 5. Verse 6. He said, the Lord had made the ghost of the Syrians to hear. What did they hear? A noise of chariots and noise of horses. These are angels. So he tells us, as those lepers were going, some angels were actually going with them. The lepers were not seeing the angels, but the other guys were hearing the noise. You get the point? There is divine help by the hands of angels. So chariots and horses were moving with them. One step sounds like boom. He will amplify your voice. But you think, I said, he will amplify your voice. But you didn't come to amen in the church. I said, he will amplify your voice. So. Okay, keep quiet. I said, he will amplify your voice. Okay, just let's be here. Praise God. He will. every step was a million step. Every step. So as they moved, angels moved with them. So to them, they were just four miserable lepers. In the spirit, they were horses and chariots walking with them. God is going to amplify every step you make. He will. Look at. You know. You say there are chariots. You say, how are you sure these chariots are angels? Well, they are. Psalm 68 verse 17 tells us. Psalm 68 verse 17 tells us about the Lord's chariots and shows that the Lord's chariots are His angels. He said, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. And so He calls angels the chariots of God. That was what was moving with these guys as they were going, and these guys were hearing this noise and they fled. It's called divine assistance. Get the point? There is no way the feet of those guys would have pursued those lepers, those soldiers. No way. They cleared the road. They fixed the situation. One of the things you don't... Hey, I carry this. One of the help, for instance, that angels offer is that they play a role in the fulfillment of prophecies. You know, this was a prophecy in this 2 Kings 7. Elisha gave a word. He said, by this time tomorrow. Hey. 2 Kings 7 verse 1. Sometimes when we talk the way we talk, we are seeing some examples. Then I said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord. Tomorrow, about this time, a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel. He said, in other words, it's just like Nigeria, fuel is going up. Right? And the man of God says, by this time tomorrow, a liter of fuel will sell for 30 naira. Of course, you know, the next verse, the king, don't ever say, you are talking nonsense. Say, the Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, will this thing be? You don't doubt such things. And not with Elijah. No, not with Elijah. Do it with anybody. Pastor Henry, anybody. Not Elijah. He said, you will see it. But you shall not eat of it. Don't try. Be careful with the kind of people you have around you. Because he had calculated. What if I say tomorrow, 12:39? You calculate what on earth? How will the market overturn? It looks impossible. But of course, when the Elijah said that, chariots landed. He has given the word. We must walk to see that this comes to pass. And they can facilitate the fulfillment of prophetic words. Now that there are words that have been spoken over you, angels can hasten them up to come to pass. You find it, for instance, in Daniel chapter 9. When Daniel began to pray for the fulfillment of the word he got, I said in chapter 10, an angel came and said, I have come because of your words. You know what happened? Jeremiah gave a prophetic word, for instance, that Israel was supposed to stay in captivity for 70 years. And then they were overstaying that 70 years. So Daniel saw it in the book of Jeremiah, and began to pray. He began to pray and said, Lord, why should this be? Chapter 10, God sent an angel. An angel stepped out to fulfill those words. So it's called divine assistance by the hands of angels. And like I said when I was 13, God will help you. Exodus 14 verse 19, you find His help again. Exodus 14 verse 19. Ooh, glory to God. Exodus 14 verse 19. The angel of the Lord which went before the camp. You know, this was when they wanted to cross, when they left Egypt. An angel was walking with them. When they wanted to cross the Red Sea, the angel went and stood behind them. You know, have you wondered why God will help you? Have you wondered why, as they were crossing the sea, how many millions of persons, the Egyptians did not catch up with them until they were done? The angel that was in front went and stood behind them. So Egypt kept coming, but they could never reach. So this is, you just, they kept pursuing. You know that kind of prawn used to run in your dream? Where you cross your leg and you sleep. Has that happened to you? You'll be running. You never get there. An angel went and stood behind. You see, any place you need assistance,
it will come for you.
I'm telling you, it will come everywhere you need assistance to come. An angel went and stood behind them. The pillar of the cloud, you see, my little angels went before them and stood
before their face and stood behind them.
So in different ways, angels just scattered themselves. Make sure these guys don't come close. So they were crossed until the last person crossed. The Egyptians found God there. That's why I told you. When he said it's like, then I now passed the car and now came. Something kept the car from coming all the way. I want you to begin to appreciate the fact that we have these beings working for us in Christ. And as I will close, I will say, you don't really need to see them. Next week, I'll talk about seeing angels and engaging their ministry. But you don't need to see them. The first thing you need to know is what I'm sharing now. That they're working for you. You know, it makes you conscious of these things. So that as I'm about to leave, I'm conscious of the fact that angels are working for me. I want to do a business. I'm conscious of the fact that angels will intervene in this deal. In this deal. Then a man of God was sharing a story. It's crazy, crazy stuff. He said they were in a hotel. It's funny. Don't do it though. They were in a hotel. They left their room and forgot to shut their door. They left the door open and left. He said when they remembered, the wife said, we didn't shut the door. He wanted to panic. And he told the wife, angels will shut it. They got back, it was closed. So the wife said, you know, of course, you know how fear doubt can come. What if it was the hotel attendants? Like, he now said, let us be sure it wasn't us. They intentionally left the door open again and went downstairs and said, angels to shut it. They came up, it was closed again. You know, I've seen this happen. As some of you have seen it in small, small ways. You are cooking, the gas has finished. You've seen it as finished. You say, don't finish till my food is done. And don't neglect those, because it is by seeing those small, small things in your attempt that you can begin to believe for bigger things. Don't finish, I'm still cooking. And then the fire will just be on, or nothing to be burning. Hallelujah. To be born. I'd like you to see that that is divine assistance. I don't know where you need such assistance. I don't know. I used to tell this story. A girl came to me when we were in school. Said, I keep going to this office. I want to see my file. I've submitted my file. He needs to sign my file and give it to me. Any day I go, he sends me away. Any day I go. He said, he has warned me never to come back to his office. I said, fine, come. Sister, what do? I said, come. And lay hands on him. In the name of Jesus, go back. He will attend to you. And he said, sir, I said, go back. So what do I say? I said, just go back. So she entered the office again. And the man said, this girl. Again, what do you want? He said, I want to see my file. He said, let's look for it. He started looking. Do you know, sometimes, Satan, do you know where the file was? On his table. It was the second file. And the girl has been coming every day. You get the point? There can be, I've seen some stories that I will share with you. Some of you that have been with our ministry for long. From 2011. I've shared this story here in church. You will know this story very well. How somebody came for a meeting and lost his Bible. I'm not remembering this story. Lost his Bible in the meeting. Got home. Opened his door. Saw the Bible on the bed. This is a Bible he read from the meeting. I said, read for me. He stood up and read with the Bible. I finished and I was looking for it. And I was very tired that day. I finished the program. He said, don't worry, you will see it. He said, amen. He looked for it. He didn't see it. He went home, opened the door, saw the Bible lying down on his bed. And it was the question, because he didn't even go from the house for the meeting. He came from another program. And he has been using the Bible all the while. He went home. How did he? I don't know. I said, if you can explain it, it's not a miracle. Get the point? And it was just help. I don't know how it happened. Did he disappear to that place? I don't know. Is an angel carry it there? I don't know. Even because me, I doubted it too. I said, ask him, are you sure? Do you have a roommate? He now said no. I said, who was with the key? He said, me. I said, how are you sure you did not leave it? He says, I went to a program last night and I preached from that Bible last night. And do you remember when you mentioned the scripture? I read from it. I said, yes, I remember. I said, yes, that's the Bible now. I said, I got home, I saw it lying down on my bed. I said, it can only be God. There are some things that will happen to you. You don't doubt. You can't explain it. You just know God has done it.
Hallelujah. Angels come through for us. They were standing before Jericho wall. There was no way they could have entered. An angel sank the wall. And they got in.
These things are things that are available for you. I'm using the Old Testament for a reason. You know why? Because when you see the things that happen there, and the Bible, you see one angel work for them, 20,000 angels, 10,000 angels. The Bible now says that we have an innumerable company. You reason up. An innumerable company. So whatever was done for them is available for you.
What don't realize that some of these things they were seeing once in a while in the Old Testament happen to you every day. Just that you don't take note of them. Because I'm talking, some of you are remembering some occasions in your life, right? Yeah.
Just that we are not conscious of them. And sometimes when you are not conscious of things, the implication is you will not be thankful for them.
Hallelujah. Remember the day you were confronted by cultists? Do you remember that day? And they were just threatening your life. Somehow, what happened? Hallelujah. What happened? I went to Esutu. Yeah. And I didn't go to Esutu now that everything was calm. I went to Esutu. Esutu, yeah. And then it was, but I know the Lord will keep me safe. I knew. And when I move into, anytime I move into a compound, I always say, till I leave this place, no robbery attack. Anytime, till I leave here, no robbery attack. And I would stay and go, nothing. The one of those compounds, I left. Less than 2 weeks, they robbed them. I'm not joking. It's not like God robbed them because I left, no. I said until I leave here. I don't get the point. You need to know that. That's why you see they robbed everywhere. They didn't enter. It's not God that did the robbery. What God did was to send his angels to protect his own son that engaged the activity. Next week, we look at how to engage the activity for protection, for provision, for everything I've seen. And I'll touch on some this next week. But just know that the angels will say, I have. Come and say, I have an innumerable company of angels. An innumerable company. Hallelujah. They were created for me. They were created for me. They were created for me. I pray for you. Like I said before, you have divine help. You didn't hear that. I said, you have divine help. Supernatural assistance comes for you in the name of Jesus. That which your hands have found to do, God assists you by angels. I said, God assists you by angels. In the name of Jesus. He assists you. He will assist you. He will assist you. He will assist you. I said, he will assist you. And some of it is ministry. He will assist you in soul winning. You know, angels can assist. I was saying this week, they can assist you in soul winning. They don't win souls. They can play a role. They can play a role. Some people will be kept at home. They will not leave their house until you visit them. They won't leave. They will stay back. And you've been planning meetings. Nobody has been seeing the meeting. You see this next one? Your voice will be amplified. I say your voice will be amplified. That's why you notice the same people that have been seeing those posters will yet see it again. It will catch them this time. It will. It's an assistance of God. Talk in other tongues. Come on. Let me hear you. Lift your voice. Talk in other tongues.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henry.org. henryonyedikachi.com.